Hey, this is Rochelle and Carter with a bonus episode of the Anything But Quiet Time podcast, and we have a very special guest with us.
Yes, our friend Kim Weir, content creator here at Hope Media Group. Super pumped talking about the new book, Everyday God. This is with Hope Media Group. This is a daily devotional. And the, by the way, we're going to put the link in the comments so that you can easily find it. But welcome. Welcome to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.
I feel like I have arrived. Oh. I mean, like, oh, you are, yeah, something if you can get on with Carter and Rochelle.
Well, we don't like to brag.
Yeah. Usually our seat is open. Anybody can come in if they want to. So.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Plus, we're told to boast only in the Lord. So
yes,
in this moment.
Amen.
But I want to know, dear friend, well, a couple of things. I want to know how one finds time with kids and your life situation to do all of the writing you do, because clearly this is a book. You've written many books. You've written blogs on our website, which we're really grateful for. So is this your love language? Is that why it maybe just comes easy to you to do this?
Oh, gosh. Well, it comes easy. I would say it came through labor.
Okay. Which is a child, right?
Yeah. But it was a labor of love. You know, so here's the thing. I'm also a Bible teacher. That's what I do. I lead women's ministry. I teach Bible studies. It is my heart language. And I'm like everybody else. There is just something in us that both wants to be with God and fights and delays and procrastinates, mm-hmm, about being, mm-hmm, with God. Mm-hmm. And so to have these I guess you could call them projects, but to have these ways in which I sort of have created a structure to spend time with God has been great for me. Mm. And really, that's one of the things that we hope the book itself would do, was give somebody else structure. But the writing of it was just faith stretching and growing, and it was just such sweet time with the Lord. And yeah, a lot of it was done late at night.
I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. I think a lot of moms are glad to hear that, because for people to, I don't know. Sometimes we hear the candy-coated stuff.
Oh, hard.
And we need the nitty-gritty stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to set aside time, given the world we live in does not set aside time unless they place value on it.
Well, I love that during COVID, it's like, we're all going to learn how to slow down in this. And then it was over-ish, you know, and forgot about that.
I meant to. Right?
Yeah, I meant to learn how to slow down.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about, I mean, before we get into the specifics of the book, What is that maybe discipline been like for you? Mm-hmm. Because I've heard this quote, I don't always want to, but I want to, in terms of digging into that relationship with God, studying the Bible. And a lot of us have been there. Yeah. What has been that, maybe you can remember a time in your life where I'm going to take that step. I want to, but I'm actually going to do it. How did you get to that place?
How did you become a Bible teacher?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me just clear the air. I hate the word discipline. Everything in me says, no, I'm running the other way.
Yeah.
I am not a disciplined person. I'm not an organized person. I struggle with procrastination. All the things. That's my life. All the things. And so I don't think I've ever strived for discipline. And that's going to, freak Richard Foster, the big guy who writes about spiritual, mm-hmm, discipline, mm-hmm, out. But I think my whole goal has always just been to strive for routine. There's so many things we put in our life as an everyday practice, right? I mean, we brush our teeth, I hope, although you young moms, if you didn't today, there's
no
always
judgment.
Tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, the dentist will judge you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Have a minute. Our life is built on rhythms, right? Mm-hmm. Rhythms of routine. We get up, we have our coffee, we brush our teeth, we go to work, we talk with our kids, whatever it is. Our life is built on rhythms. I think one of the things that we have done that has actually hindered our spiritual growth, or at least for me it did for a lot of the years, is that the routine that we built in for our spiritual life is sort of like a Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. I can do the Sunday thing because it's built into my routine.
Sure.
Right.
It's on my schedule. It's part of the calendar. Unfortunately, if we don't find time to build in the routines of other things that put us in that presence of God, that connection with Him, the relationship building, we're not going to do it. And so for me, it wasn't so much a matter of discipline. It was a matter of how can I turn the corner and make this part of my routine in life and not see it as a have to, but as a, hey, I have my coffee in the morning. I brush my teeth in the morning. Of course, I'm going to spend time with the Lord each day. that mindset yeah. for me was really helpful.
Did you find that it had to be though on your timetable, if you will, the basically the best time of the day that worked for you? Do you find a priority in the morning, or is it, would maybe it be noon for some people or 3 p.m. or?
Let me explain to you my mornings, Carter. Uh-huh. So
we should all take
the
notes.
Yeah. So it happened to me again this week. I got up and first thing I do is I pat the cat on the head and I wave to the dog sitting on the back porch. She's waiting for me and I move straight to my coffee maker. And this morning I filled my little coffee pod because my son made me feel bad about using the disposable ones. So now I have to wash out the coffee pods to not feel guilty about my life. And I closed the coffee pod and I turned it on and I went to do morning ablutions come back. And yet again, I had forgotten to put the cup under the coffee maker. Now, see, this is how I am in the morning.
Yeah.
So mornings are not my best time.
Oh, my word.
And I think that's one of the things that we have to give ourselves the freedom of. I think that as a church culture, we've created what quiet time culture should look like.
Yeah.
I love that you're anything but quiet time.
Sure. You know,
I love right. that. Because yeah. we sort of have said it looks like it's an hour. It looks like it's first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're going to use these particular tools.
And you have to Instagram it afterwards.
Now there's the whole thing of if you don't let somebody know, did you really have one?
Right.
Yeah. And if a tree falls in the forest, then nobody's there. and so I think this time that you spend with the Lord is what works in your routine. For me, because my life is somewhat chaotic, it's very different. I have different routines. It's not like I have my time with God every single day at the same time. Mm-hmm. I had twin granddaughters with me this weekend, and I finally got them to bed at 9 o'clock after having spent, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't had any time to even breathe. And one of the things that I was doing with a group of people was a 21-day challenge to go through the devotional. Every day you're going to have at least 10 minutes with God in his presence. And that was so great because if it was, 9:30, I'm exhausted, and in my mind I'm like, no, but I have a routine, and I'm trying to stay along this routine. Mm-hmm. And I went and I had time with the Lord, and it was so sweet. And it's a good thing I did because the next morning, one of them woke up with vomit and diarrhea for 4 hours. So wasn't going to happen the next day, right? So I think it's for people, the goal here is daily, not daily at 6 a.m. or daily at noontime. It's great if you can do that kind of routine. A lot of people, that's what helps them, be routine, right?
Sure,
yeah.
But that doesn't work for me. So to your point, I think we have the freedom to step into God's presence whenever we have time to step into God's presence.
And I do love that you don't necessarily have the date.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So that if there is a day where grandbabies are sick and grandma's taking care of them, you can put the bookmarker in there and it's, you missed September, whatever. No, because it's just, we're going to pick up where we left off. It's day 133. And actually, I can start anywhere. How many times do we do this in a new year? We'll start when the new year happens. I could literally start right now. My day one starts today on whatever day it is.
Yeah, so it's a 365-day devotional. So there's 365 different framings of God's word to help you see the relevance of it, to help you kind of get your mind around some of the big infinite concepts of God's word, to bring it down a little bit, to give you a starting place. And then every day also has a question to help you interact with God so you're not having a one-way conversation. But to your point, start anytime. Any season is a great season to start spending time with God, to step into his presence. This isn't a substitute for God's word. Every one of these devotionals is saturated in God's word. I mean, it really is. It's sort of built around it. But I love how Jesus, when he taught, took the truth, which is what he was trying to communicate, right? Mm-hmm. Truth. It's eternal. It's unchanging. Yeah. It exists. It comes from God. There is truth. But how did Jesus present it? He didn't just hold it out and say, here's truth, take it, let me cram it down your throat. Mm-hmm. Instead, what did he do? He wrapped it up in agricultural parables. Mm-hmm. He told stories. He did it as he walked along the way. It was wrapped up in familiar things of everyday life. So one of the things that helps us is how can I relate the word of God to the familiar things of my everyday life to bring understanding and who I am right now in this century that I live in that is so different from when the words were written.
But you bring the context in so that we can do that.
So the scriptures are all there. It's saturated in scripture, but it's wrapped up in some of the familiar things of everyday life.
Yeah.
And then also helps us transition to, well then how do I apply this to my everyday life?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are a lot of anecdotes and analogies. Yeah. You know, I love the one about the agricultural, it's whatever the bird one was.
Oh yeah.
What is that story?
The wash serve boil. Yeah. So there was a story of, I think it was some sort of birds.
Yeah,
that were being studied by an statewide survey company. It was the government, and so they tagged all these birds with a little, you know, metal tag around their ankle.
It was the state of Washington.
It's the Washington
biology.
Washington serological biological. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the abbreviations were WASH, Washington Serve. And then bio, it's a biology, B-I-O-L. Mm-hmm. And so they set these birds free. And they got a letter one day from a farmer that said, hey, thanks so much for sending the birds our way. We followed the instructions. We washed them, boiled them, and served them.
Yeah.
But they don't taste good. Don't send anymore. But it's those kind of stories. It's sort of like, I think the point of that story was, you know, sometimes the problem is not that the instructions are wrong. Mm. It's that we're misreading what is being said.
That's very true.
And that is one of the ways, that's one of the reasons that I'm trying to wrap up some of God's word in some familiar things.
We were testing you to see if you could remember which one was tied to which. It was about Jesus going into the desert and he didn't hear God's instructions wrong, right? And it's, but sometimes we get to a place in life where we're like, I must have heard God wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just life's hard, right? Yeah. And he has things for us we don't expect, obviously.
So this is what, you're mentioning the one on day three.
Yeah, that is what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that if people are like, I want to read the bird
way. Day three. Yeah.
Well, make sure you go through one and two first.
Well, and I wanted to ask, how did you, you know, is it just memories that come to mind, stories that come to mind? How did you pair all of these things with a study for every day?
Yeah. That to me is where I stand back and marvel, because I didn't write this book on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not claiming that it's divinely inspired like scripture, but it is divinely aided by God's Spirit. Mm. A lot of prayer, a lot of research, a lot of years of Bible teaching, mm-hmm. and just having a lot of stories come to mind.
Yeah.
That's the way I teach as well, when we can use illustrations to make points. And so I think I'm at day 160, 260. I'm like, well, there can't be any more illustrations left in the world.
Right.
So real quick question. When did you say yes to Jesus? How old were you?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking that, because I'd certainly love to talk about him. So I was raised in a family, loving family, but my parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. And we moved around a lot. Like every 2 years we moved. And people always say, oh, were they in the military? I'm like, no, we were just dysfunctional. So we were just moving a lot. Lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
Education, jobs, that kind of thing. And so
a lot of you in the family?
My sister and I, and then when my mom remarried, a little brother as well. And so, but the changing of the schools and being a little kid, I think one of the things that was challenging for me was just never feeling like I belonged anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as you know, start getting into your middle school years and always having to start over. One of the places that we moved, my mom knew, even though she hadn't been taking us to church, godly grandparents, she's like, well, I need to get my kids in church. And so she actually scheduled for the pastor to meet with us for a week, every day after school for a week, my sister and I, to help us walk through who Jesus is, what the Bible says, who God is.
Oh,
I don't think my mom felt capable of that, but she knew we needed to have it. And at the end of that week, I just knew. I just knew that God wanted me to belong to him. Mm. And that was so powerful, coming from a background of just always feeling like I was the outsider. And I think for me, that has really been the touchstone of my relationship with God ever since, is that I don't know if he wants the rest of you, but he wants me.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of just true belonging and that exclusiveness that I know I'm his and he is mine. And I think that's what I want everybody to experience. We can hear from God. I think that is part of the power of this book, is that I want you to know you can hear from God every day. You can hear him speaking directly into your life, and it's not as hard as you think it is. That's why I love the Everyday God Study that we have on the World's Biggest Small Group. where this book is a devotional book that's going to help you actually practice stepping into his presence every day.
Yeah.
The world's biggest small group study helps you see, as you study yourself, taking you through the scriptures, mm-hmm. you know, why does God speak? How does God speak? And how does he speak to me? What does that look like? How do I enter into his presence? What kind of ears do I need? What should I be listening for? Mm-hmm. We want you to know that God has a lot to say to you individually and that you can hear from him. And you don't have to be frustrated constantly going, everybody else hears from God, but I never know what he wants from me.
Yeah.
We really want you to know mm-hmm. that.
That's great.
Amen.
I would imagine that you see yourself as somewhat of a facilitator because of obviously that your background experience mm-hmm. moving around a lot. And then especially as, you know, 11 years as a talk show host on KSBJ specifically, you've heard so many different perspectives and stories that I would imagine so many things come to mind. You see life differently, much differently than you would have if you had never done that show. Mm-hmm.
I always said that talk show, I did talk radio for 18 years, 11 here at KSBJ. It was like my personal therapy session.
Yeah.
I invited guests so that I could hear things that I was interested in, that I knew if I was, other people were. But yeah, I mean, to be able to think more broadly than we would in our own little world. Yeah. And let's face it, we generally have a circle of friends that are a lot like us.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat closed, right? Especially as the world's gotten bigger and people go to and fro more. It feels like, to me anyway, that our circles, our little wagon has circled up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, that we want to feel safe and confident in a group and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be with people that we've got history with, that we've built relationship with. And so that was such a great way, Carter, for me to think outside of mm-hmm. my circle, my experience, to think thoughts about God that I'd never encountered before.
Yeah.
We're always growing to know him. God's word says that he is knowable. The whole point of him recording his word for us, because he wants to be known. Mm. The whole point of making creation was because he said he wanted to be known. Creation displays his glory so he can be known. Even though he can be known, he cannot be fully known. Mm-hmm. So we're never going to run out of things to know.
Yeah.
And so how great is it when we come into community? And for me, and I think for a lot of people that listen to the show, that's what it was. It was a community where we could come and talk God talk and think God thoughts and just marvel at who he is.
Yeah.
Comfortable is a fun place to be, but it doesn't, it's not a growing place. And so it's really important for us to do what you did, kind of expand that territory a little bit, because there's people outside who they're going to have questions that maybe we wouldn't even think to be able to answer.
Yeah.
And if we do what you've done, where it's like, okay, I'm really intrigued by the way that they're thinking. Now I'm exploring information that's going to be helpful when it comes to sharing Jesus with people. Was there a devotional in your life as a middle schooler, or maybe you started with that pastor shared with you that whole week of God stories? I'm curious as to know which one of them was your favorite, maybe, or if there was a tool in your life later, like an Oswald Chambers or somebody that really blessed you.
Yeah, it's really funny. After I became sort of like the spiritual conscience of my entire family, which for a sixth grader, you can imagine that could be annoying for the rest of the family.
Little Miss Preacher.
Yeah. So I would go to bed at night and be like, no, don't forget to say your prayers. I tell each person, you know, to be the little spiritual monitor. But
were you the oldest?
No.
You were the middle child. That's amazing.
Yes, but I'm the bossy one.
Yeah. So you had the spiritual gift of rebuke. So.
That's not.
See, I think it's the spiritual gift of control.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But
not self-control.
Junior Holy Spirit reporting for duty here. Yes, God has had to mature me out of trying to be his super assistant along the way.
He must have gotten a kick out of you, though. You know
yes,
he did.
I think he needed to kick me a few times. More to the point, but that's okay. I've been trying to take that kicking with grace. So, in our family, it's sort of like the momentum within our family never moved toward God. I moved toward God, but the momentum never did. And so it wasn't until I had my own car and was driving in high school, a Maverick, by the way, if you remember those hand-me-down cars, very popular, I'm sure, but that I started owning my own walk with God, showing up at church, you know, going to a youth group in the little town that we lived in.
Did you know anybody at the church, or did you just show up?
I moved into a town that this was our sort of my last high school move. I moved into a town of 2,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Teague, Texas. There were like 50 people in my graduating class. And
so,
you know, where all the big places you move in and people are like, they don't even, they don't acknowledge that you've even arrived. Mm. You show up in a small town, they're like, new people, you know, because there's never any new people.
What's her story?
I know. So it was like, it was this experience of just being embraced. And, you know, and part of that embracing was being welcomed into a church community. And so that's I think awesome. That's really where that started. But as far as grounding my feet, a lot of that came from joining Bible study. I spent 9 years in BSF, and I showed up and, well, let me back that up. And this is really important because this is something you can do for somebody else. When we went to premarital counseling, my husband and I, at this church in, that we were going to in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Which you would highly recommend. Premarital counseling.
Oh, I was
going to
say my church. I totally,
totally recommend your church.
Everybody
come move there.
Just saying. For anybody on their way to Vegas, I just wanted to sneak that in there. And premarital counseling.
You should, because you're going to talk about things that should be talked about before you say I do. Because at least later you can say, I told you, which is the basis of any good marriage.
Of course,
For spite. Yeah. That's what.
Just accuracy. Just accuracy, okay. Michelle. But anyway, and the first thing the pastor said to me was, you need to get into a Bible study. And okay, well, I've never done that before. And he sent me to a little group that had four older women. They were all in their 70s and 80s, and three younger women that were all newly married. Changed my life. Mm. Changed my life to walk with these women, to have them love me, to have them graciously open God's word to me. Like, I didn't know the difference between the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark. I'm like, are they both boats? What is that about?
That's great.
And it... The love that I felt as they walked me through baby steps, it changed my life. It changed my life. It showed me how I could hear directly from God, that I didn't have to have a preacher tell me what God was saying to me. I could go to his God, to his word. I could hear from him. I could grow my relationship with him. And then the next big step in my spiritual growth was 9 years in BSF. So 9 years in any good in-depth Bible study, not necessarily a book where you're filling in blanks, but a book that's a study that's making you open God's word and do three things. What does it say? What are the actual words? What's the story? The who, what, when, where, why? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Well, what was being communicated at the time that this was written to the people who heard it? And then what does it mean to me? Mm-hmm. How do I relate to this? While it was written for them first, it's also written for me now. Mm-hmm. So a study that helps you discover that and teach yourself how to do that, those things were transforming to
Absolutely.
Me. And I loved it so much, I couldn't get enough, and I wanted other people to do it. So So I love Bible teaching.
That's a lot of great perspective here. Everyday God is the book, Finding Hope and Help in the Daily Presence of God, through Hope Media Group. It's Kim Weir. And by the way, there is older versions out there, so we're going to put the specific link. You can get this on Amazon exclusively right now. And the link below, we'll put the small group, the World's Biggest Small Group link below as well.
Please go to the World's Biggest Small Group. We have so many great ways for you to dive into God's word and do the studying yourself.
Talking about a small group, and it feels, how do I get started? There's too many.
Yeah.
Because we don't live where we particularly living, wherever you live, it may be a small town, but we live in a big place. And so trying to get connected, this might be a good first step.
Yeah. Check out the Everyday God Bible study that's on World's Biggest Small Group. It's specifically about how do I know that God is talking to me and how do I hear from him.
Love that. Kim Weir, thank you.
Thanks
for being here.
Thanks to the famous Carter and Rochelle. Love being in your house.